All right, I'd like to bring this meeting to order. This is Wednesday, August 13th, and this is a special meeting of the City Council to talk about the recommendations of the Management Partners Report. Let the record show that all council members are present. Because this is a special meeting, we will not have any public comment, but we welcome your responses afterwards to us by email or phone calls or whatever. Couple of things just to let you know about. We do have several things on the wall over there. One is a list of the 38 recommendations from the report, and the camera is set up so that it can refer to them when we're talking about them. I know those of you at home probably don't have a copy at hand, so this will help you out knowing what each recommendation entails. There's also a list of our top 20 goals that we set at a previous meeting. So we're going to try and make sure that those things cooperate and meld with each other as we discuss them all. I think for today what we're going to try and do is Andrea sent out a list of all of the recommendations last night, and the council prioritized them. We gave them a number from 0 to 5, 0 being no interest at this time, and 5 being definite immediate interest in wanting to pursue that recommendation. Some of the recommendations we may not work on verbatim. We may say that, okay, yes, we understand what they want to accomplish with this recommendation. We think that there may be a more efficient way or a more appropriate way for our city to do that, whereas their recommendation is a very general one. So we will be having those discussions as well. And I think as we start, Andrea, you had some preliminary comments you wanted to make, and then we'll get to work.
Perfect. Thank you, Janice. I just wanted to actually talk a little bit about celebrating successes, just briefly. I think that as a result of the council's direction and the staff, we've accomplished some things already these last 12 months, and I just want to briefly talk about a couple of things. First of all, in November of 2007, the council attended a leadership conference, and at that point, we were reintroduced to the importance of strategic planning and goal setting. Then the council contracted with Management Partners to perform the organizational assessment in late 2007, and that produced a document that we received in May, which outlined 21 revenue control strategies, 13 revenue create, as well as the mayor has addressed the Coastal Commission publicly in their hearing in San Luis Obispo about the importance of their return of the city's general plan. And I know that we plan on sending additional letters, I believe probably monthly, to the Coastal Commission regarding that issue. Recommendation 2 in the Management Partners Report, hold an annual policy meeting to develop goals. The city has held their first goal-setting meeting, and we plan on holding additional meetings each year. Recommendation 3, incorporate the determined goals from the policy meeting into budget directions as a guide for program development, and that's ongoing with city staff. Recommendation number four was department consolidation and elimination of the assistant city manager position, and we're currently holding those discussions and making some progress there. Recommendation 5, funding for the chamber and promotions, and the council has already indicated that they'll revisit the process or the progress of the business improvement or the countywide business improvement district in early August and September in looking for additional funding for those organizations. Just a couple more. Recommendation number 6 in the study, update the overhead study with the city. The finance director has secured a bid for this project, and I anticipate today that we'll discuss the possibility of moving ahead with that study. Recommendation 12B, which was look into the possibility of CAL FIRE. The city in July held a CAL FIRE workshop, and we are moving into consideration of moving ahead on the September 22nd City Council agenda. Recommendation 25, increase encroachment fees. Those fees were adopted at the August 8th City Council meeting. 2 more. Recommendation 23, update the cost allocation, which is would be included in updating the overhead study. And last, recommendation 37, which talks about the redevelopment agency, and the council has authorized submission of 2 grants to fund a feasibility study. Those grants were completed and submitted to by the Public Services Director just a week ago. So I think in closing, you've provided some great direction for the above progress. We know that we still have a long path ahead of us, but we're certainly going in the right direction, and I think we can celebrate success at this point.
Okay, thank you. Any preliminary comments that any council members want to make before we get into the discussions? Or Rob, anyone? Oh, I'm sorry, we need to have a closed session report.
Yes, council did meet prior to this special workshop regarding personnel and management organization. No action was taken in that closed session that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Okay, now any comments anyone wants to make before we get into it? Okay, we just got this cumulative, a list of our ratings, and I've just been trying to put it all in order here as Andrea was speaking on. Andrea's just said that. So number 37, the Redevelopment Agency, that came up in our goals as well. So I guess that's a question of next steps.
Well, I think we've already begun that with the application. Could I get this mic down a little bit? We've already talked about that with the application for the grants, and I don't know if there's a next step until we find out what the grants are.
Okay.
Mr. Ambrose says, yeah. So I don't know how much more we can talk about 37 until that's done.
All right.
I think we did have an initial study of the RDA about 3-4 years ago. So it might be nice to just know where that is all. We have the initial study done.
Right, right. And we're going ahead with getting funding. All right, so then item number, the next one in order of preference is consolidate maintenance efforts. That's recommendation number 20. And that's to create a single consolidated maintenance division for the city. That, again, we've begun to work on that. It's something that we're going to have to look at each department as we go through all of this. But we're starting with administration and recreation and parks. Any further comments on that one?
Well, I think that hooks into one of our third level goals, and that was the transfer of harbor maintenance functions number 8. Mm-hmm. And I think we've agreed to look at that at least, yes, to see what it is they do. So I think we've gone down through our 1, 2, and 3 levels, and pretty much I feel that we're about to combine our maintenance efforts, consolidate them. And I think we've also noticed that we should probably look at what harbor maintenance functions are. But I don't know if we've all agreed to at least look at those to see if they could all be consolidated. Or
I think we're all in agreement. Are we? Is the rest of the council in agreement that we do want to look at consolidation of all maintenance work?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Assuming it's feasible, I think we need to take some of these maintenance functions in the various departments and look at them and see what they actually do. At face value on paper, I think it's something we need to move forward on, but again, I think we're going to have to do a little study first to find out what we're getting into.
Okay, but obviously it is a priority with all of us, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Next item is number 35, which was coalesce a vision of the city's future.
And they've kind of tentatively indicated that they would like to get the general plan back to us in October and November.
Oh,
but I have
gosh.
To tell you, I've been told that several times before. Each time I've talked to them, they've given me some estimate of timing. But again, this is better than we were before. But we had envisioned doing the visioning with grant funding and kicking that off with that whole general plan update effort once we got the plan back from the Coastal Commission.
Okay, thank you. That's good news. They actually spoke to us.
Ms. Mayor?
Yes.
But in light of past experience, I would rather not have visioning connected to the general plan because it is uncertain, unless there's some, even when it comes back, we don't know what state it's going to come back in. So I would like to see the two separated, and I'm not sure what that means other than more work for Mr. Ambo, but I don't want to necessarily have to wait and wait and wait. I'd like that visioning to start. As you can see, it's our number 5 item or 4, and that it needs to happen more soon.
Melanie, did you have something to add to that?
Yeah, I would concur with Betty on what she's saying. I mean, the general plan is, of course, an important component of a vision for a city, but it has to do a lot with let me back up. It's an important component, but what I've always thought that we needed to vision was that downtown visioning, because that's where you have your retail base, and I think right now it's a very underutilized revenue source. And now that we have suspended or reduced parking in lieu fees down there, I would expect some kind of burst. But what we have down there is empty storefronts and no real coherent vision of what we would allow, what we would like to see, what kind of businesses we would like to come into the empty storefronts. And yet that's where we get our revenue from in sales tax. So I've been waiting and waiting since 2004. It was put on the agenda planning guide, downtown visioning. So when I saw this vision thing in the management partners, a vision of the city's future, the city is nearly built out, okay? Your future is just about done. I mean, not number 37 and 38 when we talk about redeveloping the power plant or harbor property. But I think what we need to do with the vision is to go right to downtown, right to the heart of the business district, and seek to not only enhance Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street there.
Other comments, Bill or Rick? How do you feel about it?
Well, I think it would be good to have some sort of overall idea of what we'd like to see downtown, but because those are independently owned businesses that are rented out to other businesses, or private property or rented out to other businesses, we're not going to have a lot of say as to what business goes in there. I certainly don't see us coming along and saying, no, you can't put this store in there because we want to see that store, even though we haven't heard from those people. So it would be great to encourage those businesses, and I think that's what we're trying to work on with the committee that I'm on, is try to figure out what we want and try to figure out how to encourage them. But I could see where we could have something we could advertise saying, boy, we're sure looking for a men's clothing store, say, or somebody downtown that sells some type of shoes or something. But I don't know how far beyond that kind of visioning we could go. It won't have any teeth to it. It'll just be a wish list.
Madam Mayor?
I think with the current economic conditions, I mean, we would have loved to have had a Trader Joe's come into the old Denny's, but we're thrilled that Bob's Big Boy is. I mean, so we have to, I don't know, lower our expectations, but we pretty much have to welcome who is ever interested in coming and investing in our town. Aside from objectionable businesses, I think we're pretty much in a situation where we need to welcome and facilitate just about any business we can that's going to take open these empty storefronts.
Andrea, you had a comment?
I'm not throwing a monkey wrench into your plans, and you've got a lot of pieces of paper in front of you. I will call to your attention, though, the goals that we have, and visioning is a goal, one of the other goals, but it wasn't one of the top six priority goals, just to make sure that we include that document in all our discussions as well.
Right.
And
right.
It's a little bit interesting when we look at the management partners report about specifically the recommendation. It specifically says a vision should not include any significant reliance on commercial fishing activity in the decades required for local fishermen to recover. The shift toward recreational fishing, boating, and other tourist activities offer the most likely opportunities for success. And that's what it says in the vision statement, just as a reminder.
Well, I think the question here is whether we want to wait on this, or is it something that we want to do separate from the general plan? I know that we just got funding from...
He had to do about the vision of the city, and the reason why staff thought it best to wait for that LCP, because that really is your vision, your goals, your priorities are set forth in that document quite specifically, and really is almost your vision statement. And that's my understanding of the LCP, because it has so many goals and priorities and what you're going to accomplish, and we need to look at that specifically, because when we did do it, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago when the fishing industry was quite different than it is now. So I think that's what staff was looking at, is that's the best time to relook at that instead of doing a vision statement right now. But you could certainly maybe even start that process before it even comes back to start reviewing what we did even say in it to see how much is still applicable. I think that's what Bruce's...
Bruce, did you have something?
Excuse me. Yes, that too. But I just wanted to call out for you that the funding source that we were going to use to do the visioning, staff had thought that we might pursue grants to do that. The same funding source would be the grants that we're after for the redevelopment study.
Oh.
So there's only so many of those that we would be able to apply towards.
Well, and is the funding we got for the CAL FIRE workshop the same as what we would be applying for the redevelopment?
No.
Okay, because that was a different
We applied for CDBG grants. I don't know the funding source for the CAL FIRE stuff. Okay. Then the other thing I was going to remind you is if we do go forward with the redevelopment plan and we do go forward with the formal formation process, part and parcel of that will be development of redevelopment plan and then a one-year and then a five-year implementation plan. So part of that could come out of visioning through the redevelopment planning process. If we go to that step.
Will that not, though, be just for the specific area that we are choosing for redevelopment?
Right. And I think the idea, we've identified the downtown area.
Okay.
So if the redevelopment plans do come to fruition, that will be part of the process. So I don't want to leave you with the misimpression that it's one or the other. We're going to do, there are a number of fronts that we could be working at this. And as Rob indicated, the underlying premise in the updated LCP is the vision.
Okay.
So that's also there.
All right, Council, then with that input, how do you feel we should proceed on this particular item? Betty?
What I'd like to see is the Council meet with promotions and see where promotions is going with how the picture of visioning was for the whole town. It was a theme. It's like defining ourselves. And Mr. Ambo says that's in, and Mr. Schultz is saying that's in our general plan, that we've identified that. But if we can pull that out, look at that with promotions, look at that with what we know, and maybe start that baby step before we go after big bucks or have to do the heavy-duty stuff of businesses downtown and redevelopment.
Okay. Melody, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I've always wanted to keep them separate, and I've always focused on downtown, because I think it's a wasted resource. And I have made a specific suggestion, and that was that we would, at a council level, have a workshop with property owners and business owners, and including the property owners, because they're the ones who control the rents down there and who control the redevelopment, probably. But, you know, I've thrown that out there as a suggestion.
Well,
but as far as visioning the entire town, I think it's... probably more the general plan and probably more out of the barn.
Well, I think we're combining a couple of different concepts here. One is our general plan, which encompasses the whole community and who we are and what we want to be. Another is downtown visioning for a specific area that obviously is ripe for redevelopment. Do we want to do something in advance of that redevelopment, or do we want to wait and have that conversation then when it can be absolutely and immediately applicable? Now, as far as meeting with the promotions committee, I think that's a great idea anyway, and we should do that. For, you know, if you want to say, okay, what kind of a town are we? If we're no longer a fishing village, then what do we want to represent ourselves as in our advertising? Is that what you were getting at, Betty?
Well, I think they're already doing that, and I'd like to get feedback on that. You know, where are they coming from? How is it that they decide that? And what kind of input, if any, do they need from us?
Well, they're certainly going towards the environmental, you know, discover your better nature.
And that's been what it has for several years. Are they still there? What have they done? I think the group meeting would be good. At the same time, I think what Melody's asking for, and she has made this for a while, and I don't see how it would hurt to contact property owners downtown, see where they're at, see if they'll even show up to a meeting. Let them know what we've got in the works, that we're talking about redevelopment. I don't think a pre-meeting is a bad thing. It's a way to get us in motion.
Okay. Rick, Bill, comments?
talking about a couple of different things here. Betty's talking about promotions. We should probably...
I know this is where we're going.
Absolutely. I think we could get together with a number of parties and say we want a vision of downtown, or the downtown primarily, before any redevelopment starts, so we know what the redevelopment's supposed to accomplish, other than maybe being a source of revenue. We want to give it a new look. What look do we want to give it? I see this as we're talking about three visioning statements here. One of them is, what do we want the entire city to look like? One of them is, what do we want the downtown to look like, or the business community, not just the downtown, and then the downtown specifically. So I don't know if you can lump them all together, but one of them has to be general plan oriented, so that when you talk about a development somewhere or building somewhere or something that's going to happen, you have to have an understanding that it fits in what we all want the city to be.
Mm-hmm. What if we were to have this meeting and have it
in sections, where one section would be just about the downtown area and those property owners. And then perhaps I would really like to put some focus on North Main and the businesses out there and make it just an ongoing discussion, perhaps an hour for each one or something like that. Does that sound like a plan?
I think North Main deserves some study by itself. Right? We tend to ignore North Main in favor of the downtown. We could either do it same day or do it in three different days. It doesn't matter, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm looking at trying to get everybody together is always such a challenge.
Yes.
If we could do it in one day, that might be really helpful. So is that something that we would like to move forward with, is trying to get the business, the property owners, as well as the business owners together for some sort of a workshop? Okay, that's a goal. That's something we want to get to. All right, and how much staff involvement do we need in that? Or is that something, your committee is already getting close to?
I think there would be nominal staff, since we do have Mr. Ambos on the committee. He obviously is going to be involved, so I guess that relates to a minor amount of staff time, but we could also coordinate it. I could do a lot of that, and we could also probably coordinate it through the chamber.
Okay.
As far as inviting all those people, because the chamber, of course, Peter's on the committee also. So we can, we can take care of it without bogging down either Mr. Ambo or the rest of staff.
Okay, so can we look to you to bring back to council some suggested dates and people that you either have contacted or suggest we contact? And
okay.
We'll set that up as a preliminary to redevelopment and visioning. We want to get everybody on the same page and talking to each other. Does that sound good to everyone?
It's great to have meetings and everything, but I think we need interested in wanting to do it first.
So how would that information be gathered?
By
staff.
I mean,
loans and things, the city's not going to make loans, so.
The city isn't, but the city can pursue the information as far as what low-cost loans are available for this type of improvements. We could also talk to them about being able to fast-track any building plans. So they're not sitting in building for 6 months. There's advantages and benefits that the city can provide. We just need to identify them and let them know what they are.
Okay, again, I'm looking at staff time. I'm looking at how we do this. I'm not arguing your point. I'm just trying to explore how we get that. I know that previously we've offered low interest loans or no interest loans, and there hasn't been much interest at all from the business community. So do we maybe need to find out from them if that's anything they even want, if it would make a difference to them or not? Or is that something that you want to research and have ready to present to them,
Madam Mayor,
at the workshop? Yes, Bill.
Perhaps the first thing to do is try to put together a rather informal survey and send it out to the entire business community and try to determine with that, assuming that we could eliminate a lot of the bureaucracy and there would be money available in the form of low-cost loans, how many people would be interested or under what circumstances. And then when you find out that there is a lot of interest or some interest or no interest, then you know what direction to go from there.
Does that sound reasonable?
That's fine. I just think if we're going to have a meeting with them, let's have some information.
No, I totally agree. I just don't want us to be spinning wheels that we don't need to spin if they're not interested. So I like the idea of a survey. Agreement? Betty?
Mr. Pierce, in your committee, are you going to be talking or could you talk to, I'm thinking about just a couple of people going up and down the boulevard and Main Street and just talking to people one-on-one.
We could probably work that
and
up.
And just say to them, you know, what's your situation? What do you need? What's happening? How does your landowner fit into this? How does the city fit into this? Maybe just three or four questions and gather some information first.
Why don't you send me an email of your suggestion for questions and we can put some stuff together. And then if nothing else, I'll walk it and talk to them.
Yeah. Okay.
Madam Mayor, did you want to have a joint City Council Promotions Committee meeting, and would you like us to arrange that?
I think that would be a good idea. Is everybody in agreement on that?
Well, the chamber is part of the Promotions Committee, is it not already?
They have representatives
on
it, yes.
Exec.
Yes. So certainly the chambers could be present, not necessarily.
Postponed till later with the...
We talked about the fact that that's one of the ongoing consolidation things that we're going to be looking at.
Thank you.
Okay, so 33 and 34. 33 is make all enterprise funds self-supporting. 34 is establish a 9-1. Well, let's just do them one at a time. Make all enterprise funds self-supporting. Comments on that?
Could we define enterprise funds as water, sewer, harbor, and anything else?
That was it, all of them?
Harbor.
Transit.
Okay. So I thought that Harbor was self-supporting.
But they are supposed to be.
I think they are.
I thought they already were. And I thought that water is self-supporting already. Mm-hmm. So all except for transit, which is the dial-a-ride and trolley. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So do we want to look at the possibility of making that self-supporting, and if that's going to work, that means probably a pretty big kick in the fares.
Isn't that a part of one of these other goals about making the trolley self-sufficient?
Well, number 17 goals, which I see didn't get a lot of support, but it was eliminate mm-hmm. the general fund trolley support.
Right, number 17, that's true.
And I think if that's the last part of the... Well, the dial-a-ride, though, isn't self-supporting, or is it? Well, Ms. Burlingame's here. Maybe she could...
I know we've had reports from Janine previously on what the costs are. Do we want to... Here she is. Would you like to respond to this one?
As far as the transit fund for dial-a-ride, this current fiscal year that we're in, the council did approve some general fund support. There were the increases in fuel, the increases to the contractor costs for the higher wage structure for the drivers and the dispatchers, and the higher cost for the Regional Transit Authority, our contribution to them for their services, have all, over time, used up the amount of Transportation Development Act funding that we get from the state. Since that's becoming pretty flat, and depending on what the governor does with and the legislature does with the budget that they're currently considering, there may be even another decrease to transit funding for us. So we would need to look at the existing dial-a-ride service as well as the trolley, which is uses no Transportation Development Act funds, and trying to make them as self-sufficient and sustainable as possible. And that may lead to looking at fare increases.
Okay, so you're pretty much doing that information gathering right now, and you'll
yes.
be bringing it to council?
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I think it's great that we are, and I support making the enterprise fund self-supporting, with the exception that I have concerns about transit, because there are a number of people who ride the dial-a-ride buses who don't have the resources to pay severely increased fares. And we tried that with Saturday service. We raised the fees quite a bit, and the number of people using it dropped off to almost nothing. And the same way with the trolleys. Yes, they're something that are a drain on the general fund, but they're also being utilized by people who might not be on the Embarcadero and in our restaurants and businesses. I try to make a point of riding the trolleys every year. I've ridden them several times this year, and I've seen people get on from the RV parks that come down and to go down to the Embarcadero, and you know, you've seen the huge increase in ridership along the Embarcadero. Our goal with bringing the third route, the Embarcadero route, on this year was so we could encourage people to park at either the Rock parking lot or down at Tidelands and use that as part of our traffic or parking mitigation. And so I think we have to take into consideration the effects of what would happen if we were to reduce ridership or eliminate one or more of the trolley routes because of funding, what the impact that would have on the, both parking and the business community. So I think we have to be very careful when we start messing with our transit stuff.
I tend to agree with that, but at the same time, maybe one of the bits of information that might be helpful is if we did on-trolley surveys. I rather expect that a lot of our visitors find the trolley a very economical way to get around, and probably would not object to a slightly higher fee. I know dial-a-ride is kind of different because people are using that to get to doctor's appointments and everything. And the ironic part of it is that as the state funding goes down, gas goes up, our costs go up, and we get more riders. So we need more money to accommodate more riders, and it's getting very difficult to make that balance. What I'm thinking of is if we did a rider survey of the trolleys, especially because that's more a visitor serving, that might be one we could kick up the amount on. Even with dial-a-ride, I think most of the riders understand the situation that we're in with budgeting with the state. I know it's low cog. The comments.
you would then, an extra 50 cents on the trolley would make it a dollar a head, and which may or may not have an impact. But keep in mind there are other tourist destinations in this county that have their trolleys that are free. So I don't know. I would be very concerned. And if you're going to end up by, I don't know what doubling the fares would be if you're trying to get people to park somewhere and walk and ride it. And a lot of what it is, I think, is a novelty. I think a lot of the people on the Embarcadero are riding it because it's something to do in Morro Bay. And you have to admit, for a number of people that come and visit, after the first few hours of enjoying the view and the sunset, there's not a lot to do for some of them. So you can only eat so many times a day and shop in the same shops so many times. So I don't know. I just want to be careful because I think that we don't know what benefit we're getting that isn't dollars from those people, whether the sales tax is up or people eating or buying things because we have those things available. I mean, there's got to be a reason why we had that huge, as a matter of fact, what was the percentage increase this year on the
38% or something like that?
I don't have the exact percentage.
Well, guess.
Yeah, it was big.
But it was there was a dramatic increase in the ridership along the waterfront compared with last year when it was the downtown and the waterfront route together. Actually, all three routes have seen increases.
All three have been increased this year.
Yes.
So I think by being possibly penny wise and pound foolish, or maybe dollar wise and pound foolish, we may be cutting our throats as far as some of the business viability that we have in the community.
Well, I'm saying let's add to the survey, and having just spent a very long week in LA where it costs $9 to park your car anywhere for any amount of time, I think that a lot of our out-of-town visitors would not find that an objectionable amount. But do you think that the on-the-vehicle survey is of interest?
I'm interested more in getting back the information on when the vehicles are being used and when they're not. And I don't know that interviewing tourists will give you information that's good from one season to another or from one month to another. I think our tourists come for a variety of reasons, and they'll have a variety of reasons why they do or do not ride the trolley and how much it costs. It may be not the trolley riders you need to talk to, but those who aren't riding the trolleys. So I think this whole conversation,
like public utility user tax or something to cover the cost, but we don't. But I would think a fair thing to do would be something like seniors, people that don't make over $25,000, and disabled people submit that proof to Dial a Ride. They get their discount card, which allows them to ride the trolley for what they can do it now, and the other folks make up the difference so we don't have to subsidize it.
Melody?
I think that surveying people that are on the trolley is like asking people who attend church why people aren't attending church. I think there needs to be a survey probably of tourists, but I think it's probably more the chamber's job than the city's job. I am interested in the ridership numbers. I hope that they disprove what I see with my own eyes. I see the trolley riding around with 2, 5, 6 people in it a lot, and I don't like that. I also think that there are things that we could do with the trolley that we aren't doing now. And I know we've talked about advertising, and that's being done. But I think things like different decorations for different seasons or different events or different maybe music on board or something like that. We have to induce more people to ride the trolley. I think that residents of Morro Bay could grow to resent the trolley watching it go around empty or nearly empty.
Hopefully it's coming back from dropping off a bunch of people.
I just wanted to try to keep you focused a little bit in that. The trolley discussion was only 14 on your rating. The one that was actually the 19 rating had to do with enterprise fund self-support,
right,
which has to do more with the cost allocation and making sure not only are they self-sufficient, but that the general fund isn't subsidizing water and sewer. So the general fund isn't subsidizing even the harbor and that. And that kind of goes with the cost allocation, which was also number 18 on here.
Yeah, that's next in our
right
level.
So it's two separate issues. Trolley, of course, is one being self-sufficient, but the actual number 33, if you read the language there, it's really looking at the overhead for labor to support these enterprises funds with legal, financial, human resources. And it's one my department doesn't do that needs to be looked at closely. Is it's a general fund, my department, but it certainly provides services to harbor, sewer, and water.
Okay, well, with that, since we're going to have the survey on ridership, let's and costs, why don't we segue into number 23, which is the update cost allocation.
Oh, I don't feel complete on number 33 with what...
Really an overlap of that other cost allocation, because it specifically says in there to make sure that they're, each enterprise fund should fully support its operations, including capital reserves, and providing overhead payments to the general fund equal to the amount of labor required to support the enterprise. In the past, Morro Bay, the general fund has been required to provide labor to support these enterprises with legal, financial, human resources, information technology, and other general support services.
And you're right that recommendation 23, the next one, the consolidation or the cost allocation plan, is the same thing. Yeah.
Okay, so going on to 23, then updating the cost allocation plan and charging for direct services where appropriate. Are we working on that now? Is that...
We're working on it in that Susan Slayton, your finance director, did get a proposal from recreation cost specialists. They've done work for the city before. Their proposal for a cost allocation project is approximately $25,000, which would include software that would allow us to update that allocation, that cost allocation program on a yearly basis. So we have the bid. We can bring that to council for funding on Susan's recommendation on how to fund that and move ahead with that cost allocation, updating the cost allocation.
So is that going to be something you're going to bring to us for a decision to get that funding?
We can bring that to you on the 25th if you would like.
Would everybody like to do that?
Do we legally have to do a cost allocation in order to charge the enterprise funds?
Yes. You've got to make findings. You've got to show
you
that
do?
You actually just didn't pull a number out of the air, or, you know, what percentage is that, and someone needs to go through that and find that, kind of the same way you did for your impact fees,
okay,
so that they can't be challenged.
Okay.
All right. And I'm sorry, I did skip number 34.
And it's my understanding that Ms. Slayton's already updated all the enterprise funds in terms of utilities, right? Water, sewer, that they're paying their own now. So that won't be in the study. The only thing that will be in the study is labor.
Yes, services.
Okay. So that's going to come to us. Number 34 is establish a 911 fee that would be added to local phone bills intended to support the operation of the local 911 center. And that one, okay, is that something that, I'm not clear on that, is that only charged if you use it, or is it charged to everyone all the time?
There's many different ways. First one to try to tackle it, is there a way to do it without having to go to a ballot measure? It would be the first way to do it, but if that's, you know, a lot of those have been struck down.
If I might jump in, some of the confusion, as it was for me, is that I've talked about a paramedic fee. Mm-hmm. That you could either opt into or out of. And this is different from that. This is a fee that's added to your local phone bill. And I, from what I'm reading, I would prefer to go to a vote of the people over just simply passing it as council's used to, because there's been so much litigation about whether or not you can. I'd like to avoid the litigation and just leave it up to the people. But this is something that could net us $195,000 a year by putting a $1.50 fee on everyone's phone bill that comes back into the city. Now, for the 9/11 fee, to help our local 9/11 center, even though we may or may not go to Cal Fire, and that's not to be decided. And so I think a lot of things that hang with the fire and 9/11 fees and all that kind of hang with that decision. But I'll just look at Mike and see if I can get a kind of a nod. If we gathered money from a 9/11 fee for a 9/11 center, it would pay for our own 9/11 center. Would it as well pay for any Cal Fire 9/11 center?
Mike, we need you to get up here for the microphone.
Sorry.
Aren't you glad y'all came?
Yeah, if you do more than nod, you have to come up to the mic.
Thank you. In response, is it on? We would be contracting with Cal Fire for dispatch services if we went to Cal Fire. therefore we're still paying for dispatch services, so you can collect and use that as our city share towards that with CAL FIRE.
Then I would actually support recommendation 34 to pursue looking at a 9/11 fee. It's hardly anything for residents to pay, but it would offset a large cost for supporting our dispatch services.
Okay. And if we didn't go to CAL FIRE, it would go to the PD to keep their equipment upgraded and to pay for the dispatch services. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Every call would still come in to our 911 center, whether it's police or fire, even if CAL FIRE dispatches the fire. Our dispatchers would answer the phone, and if it's fire-related, then they still have to enter all the information on their CAD system, but it just gets shipped over to the county CAL FIRE dispatch.
The police officer, or is it limited to simply equipment like, you know, the phones and the computer boards there?
I think it's determined however you want to.
Yeah. However we want to.
Yeah, I don't think it's limited.
It's grand. It's another pot of money.
And one of the things we did do this year is that we separated out a communications budget so we could track exactly what the Emergency Communications Center for the city costs. So there is a benefit to that being separated now.
Okay, thank you. Do we want one of our items that was rated 14 is the utility users tax? Do we want to kind of put this in that discussion as well? No.
I would certainly like you to separate those out because some might have higher priorities amongst you for me to bring back earlier.
Okay.
I can bring them all at the same time, but that's going to be a longer period to get to each item of the benefits and the fiscal analysis of them.
Okay, well, this one got 19 points out of 25, and the utility users got 14 out of 25. So this one separate?
Does 9/11 get support from the council at this point, then?
There's 19 out of 25, so that's pretty good. So is this something that we want to pursue right now?
Regarding 9/11?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. The 9/11 fee. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean if you call 9/11, you're going to be charged?
No.
Okay, then we need to set some parameters.
I think all you're asking for staff is come back with analysis of the different ways that different cities have done it and the legal implications, which ones would have to go to a vote. And if that's something you'd want, then staff, myself, and Mike and John can work on putting forth a report. And if it's a high priority, we'll put it as high as we can get it back to you.
And we floated something out here that I don't want citizens to misunderstand. You don't pay for a 9/11 call with this. It says in this book that you could recoup approximately $195,000 with a fee of $150 per month on phone lines. That's what it says here. So we're not going to charge anybody for a 9/11 call if you voted for this. It's a fee that would go on your phone bill. It would be delivered to the city, and it would help to offset some of the largest costs that we incur in the city, which is for public safety with fire and police.
But that's not necessarily the mechanism that we're going to use.
Yes. Right. That would be one of the mechanisms.
The things that we've already talked about are higher priorities. And at some point, I think we need to separate into high, medium, and low.
Yes. Well, and I'm going through them by rating. So as we go down the list, these are getting to be lower priority. The question here is, this certainly does meet our goal of wanting to increase revenue. So is it something that we want the city attorney to go ahead and prepare a report, but not in a big rush, more, you know, when he can bring it to us? Does that say it correctly?
I think it says it correctly because we've missed the window to put it on the November ballot.
Right.
And so then it's a two-year window before we can put it on the next ballot. But I would point out to people who are here and to council that we did sit through an all-day workshop to establish priority goals and establish new revenue sources ranked as number 3 out of the 20. So it's way up
there. We are following that list, which is also up there if AGP wants to take a look at it. All right, so that's the direction there, that we do want a report from the city attorney, but not tomorrow. Okay. And then the next one in order, number 6. We've done cost allocation. Next would be update the overhead study. That is number six.
Madam Mayor, that information will be included in your cost cost allocation.
All right, so that's all mixed in. All right, that's good.
Can we tell folks at home what an overhead study is?
I'm sorry?
Could Andrea please tell people at home what an overhead study is?
Those fees, overhead, excuse me, overhead are things other than labor costs. So all those costs will be included in your cost allocation study, but it wouldn't be specifically your labor costs.
Okay, so it has to do mostly with services and personnel, not so much with, it would concern itself with utilities and, okay.
Correct, yeah, not your labor costs, but most other things.
Okay.
Okay, and then the next item is number three, which is to incorporate overall goals from the council's policy meeting into a set of budget directions for each department head as a guide for program development. I think we're working on that as we go through things now, aren't we? So does anyone feel a need to do anything more on that? Okay. We're going to keep those 20 goals in front of us at every meeting. We're going to refer to them constantly. Okay, so then we're going to ratings of
36.
In terms of just the other night, we had the cell phone decision where we noted that a new zoning ordinance would yield a different decision. I think that when these examples come up, we should ask Mr. Ambo, the public services director, to shoot off another letter to them. Here is another scenario. Here's another case.
We're doing that on a monthly basis. Every month, we're sending them another one.
I'm saying every week as they come up at a council meeting or a planning commission meeting, like if you had only get this out of your committee, we could take care of it. And I think, too, the other thing we ought to do is something that I talked about at the cell phone discussion, and that is to, when we notice some sections, and it might be three pages, there's a way to separate out a piece of the general plan, isn't there? And we say we'd like to actually address, Mr. Ambles confirming that. I'd like staff to be real well aware of that, that if we can't get a whole update from them of a general plan, can we look at the things that are really causing us grief right now and get updates of those? Mm-hmm. And with the cell phone tower being one of the examples.
Well, that'll certainly be the topic of our next letter, so maybe that would be part of the letter that, you know, yes, we want the whole general plan. If not, could you at least give us this? Because we really need it. We have a moratorium right now. We'd like to be able to move ahead with this. So, and in thinking of the month versus every week, it's you want to be a nag, but you don't want to be so much of a nag that they just throw it in the wastebasket without thinking about it. So we kind of figured every month was better than every week. It's a judgment call.
I would do it more by incident. You know, as the cell tower comes up, as another issue comes up, and that would be your minimum, but if there's nothing, then it would just be maybe for that month. I think that's being handled, and I'm happy with that. I think it's a good idea.
Okay. All right, so we will continue with that. Going next to, I think we got all the number 18s, correct? So then we go to number... 16s. So number 38... proactively develop a strategic plan to redevelop city-owned harbor property, the power plant, and Chevron properties.
This is probably one of my favorite topics.
Okay.
As it has to do with the power plant. New Futures devoted, the New Futures Committee, appointed by the City Council, devoted 2 years to developing all kinds of information. And a power plant is something that we really need to look toward. And if it's not that, the redevelopment of it, we have to really be looking for the mess we'll be in if they just walk away someday. And so I think to understand that a mess might be coming at us due to their plans is what makes it important that we keep in very good contact mm-hmm. with them. I'd say quarterly that we sit down and have a meeting with Randy or somebody, even if it's on a phone, and just say, how are things going? Randy had some good ideas for some internal generation of power that would be inside the power plant that would not use the ones through cooling, for example. Well, where's that going? Is that going before the CEC or Because mm-hmm. Modernization is over with if they haven't broken ground in 2012. So the clock is ticking for them, and it's ticking for us.
Right.
But I certainly wouldn't want that new futures report to go for nothing, and I would like it pursued, if by nothing else, than to have these quarterly meetings with Dynegy and say what's going on.
Okay, does the council agree that we should send a letter to Randy and say, okay, what's the status? We'd like to meet with you about what the future is and what your long-term plans are. Any consensus? Okay.
I have no problem with doing that. I think it's a good idea. We sometimes have so many issues up in the balls in the air that we sometimes lose the fact that that will become a major issue in a short time now. And, you know, we met with them on a regular basis or even got touch basis with what's going on, and it might be a good idea even have to be by phone. But I think Randy comes down here at least twice a year, if not more.
That would be good. And I know that you were in on the negotiations team, and that was all legal, but you know, it may not just be your job to do that, but I think it would be good to have some contact.
Okay. So, question, Rob, on any of this, do you need motions, or do you need a motion at the end of the day to bring forth all of this?
It's a workshop. It's mostly direction just to staff within their normal duties, and if it's something major, then we are bringing it back. If it's a financial issue or something, it's going to require tremendous staff time.
But okay,
just,
so just
a nod from the consensus
sufficient.
From council is we should try to keep more in touch with Dynegy on this issue, which was one of management partners' recommendations. This point's fine. If it's going to be more than that, then we can bring it back for action.
Okay. All right. The other parts of number 38. I know the ship
acquired the property for no purchase. Now they're saying if we want the property, we'd have to purchase it. And before we'd purchase it, we'd have to do subdivision plans and get an appraisal. So they're asking for a lot of information up front. And we've contacted People's Self-Help, Habitat for Humanity, and the Housing Trust Fund, and nobody's been able to put that kind of a commitment in doing development plans for that speculative project. And furthermore, they've indicated that they wouldn't separate the 94-mile pipeline easement. So there may be more liabilities than assets with the property because we don't know what the environmental condition is of the pipeline.
Okay.
So.
And just to reiterate, it wasn't a lack of our pursuing it. It was a lack of finding any other agency that could come in and do a housing project.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And do all the necessary due diligence, the environmental studies, the subdivision plans, the environmental stuff. There's a lot of expense in that. And you really don't know at the end of the day if you
don't. You're going to get it.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions for Bruce on that?
Can this topic come back in closed session?
Sure. I mean, it's gone from a zero now to a purchase price, so we can put it on the September 25th one and talk
Thank
about
you.
Whether we want to purchase it for a purchase price. A couple things that I find interesting. I don't know behind it all because I haven't been able to even talk to staff, but this project was moving forward on a sale of no cost or any sale so slow. I mean, there was no action. We were trying to get action out of them, and then all of a sudden now it's been hurry up and tell us right away, give us 30 days to finalize a plan. And like Bruce said, you know, contacting these agencies, they want to really do their due diligence to find out what they can and can't do. And their first inclination was to exclude the pipeline, and now it definitely includes it, which brings forth all sorts of liability issues if you're a municipal government, even more so than possibly if an LLC buys it, you know, a limited liability corporation. So it's been kind of an interesting process, and all of a sudden it has sped up, and maybe we can find out a little bit more on that, and we can set it for closed session, because now the issue is whether we want to put it in for a dollar amount, but it has to be appraised first also.
Does that include the whole 94 miles of pipeline?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and then the other part of this one is to redevelop city-owned harbor property. I'm not sure what that's referring to. City-owned harbor property?
What's that?
Do you know what that one's referring to? Number 22, which is sell surplus lots. And that says sell surplus properties to provide a short-term financial bridge and to invest in economic development. Other than the Brannigan's property, which we already have out We're looking for presentations on that. Basically, all we own is things right around City Hall, isn't it?
No, there were some other ones that came up. I think even up by Radcliffe that were some odd lots. I'm not even sure if they're buildable lots, but I think it's we need to bring it forward to you. Okay. And look at what actually is surplus.
We've got a list we gave to Management Partners. There are a couple in the Radcliffe neighborhood that are to the best description, small residential lots, and we can bring that forward, certainly.
Okay.
But because of the market, this is not a high priority. I don't think this needs to be done before the end of the year.
I don't know. Wouldn't hurt to list them, would it?
We have property listed, actually. Yeah, that's not moving up at Cloisters. So in my heart's desire, I would really hope to get rid of Anthony's at some point and have somebody redevelop that, because it's such an eyesore on the Embarcadero. Not so much for the revenue, but to get it off our books, back onto property tax books, and to redevelop it so that it can beautify the area. But as to the other things, I agree with Betty. The market's horrible right now. I mean, I was listening to NPR this morning. It is not. It's tanked. It's in the tank. This is not a time to sell surplus lots.
Well, it is. Cloisters is the one that comes to mind, and I do have it on as a future agenda item for staff to bring forward that particular lot, and coming up with maybe looking at staff's recommendation of using an agent so that it can be multiple listed. We've had success previously, not without an agent, but that was in better market times. So it might be a good idea to bring these properties to you anyways at this point in time, so you know what they are, because mm-hmm. I'm interested in knowing what they are also, and taking a look at what they are and other strategies on seeing what we can do, because the Cloisters is a key linchpin in providing funds for the fire station.
Well, and I would think if we have small lots someplace else too, can't hurt to sell them for what we can get for them, and we'll be ahead of where we are now. If they're not producing any income and costing us money, or even if they're not costing us money and not producing income, can't hurt to go ahead and sell them. So, are we in agreement that we'd like a
rating? And as soon as we get rid of all these property assets, we don't have the assurance that we can actually borrow money in case of an emergency in the future or something like that. So to say that, sell them for what you can get, I just wouldn't want to say that again. That's all.
Okay, well, let me put forth a scenario as to what I'm saying. I'm not saying to do that with Cloisters, because certainly that has value. Certainly Market Street has value. But if we have undersized residential lots on Radcliffe, and we can sell them now for $100,000 or in 2 years for $150,000, why not sell them? I would like a list so that we can look at it and decide if there's anything that we would like to put on the market now. Rick?
There's a lot of people that feel this is a good time to do things, too. So those people are out there. But it wouldn't cost us any money to list it at fair market value. The only time it's going to cost us is when we sell it and pay the agent. So what's it going to hurt?
Okay, so Bill?
I'd like to know what we have first, but I think probably the lots we would consider surplus we could list, but I don't want to give them away either.
Okay, so we're agreed that we'd like to at least see a list. Okay? Okay?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it was coming back to you because the Cloisters has been sitting there. We get a little bit of calls on it, but not enough. So my idea was to bring that back as a status report sometime in the next few months. And the idea thinking is if you do put in other surplus property, you might get a better bid from a real estate company because you're listing more than one property with them. So we'll come back to you with some ideas for that, and you can decide what to do.
All right. Next one is, we're on number 8 now, right? Number 14, which is reassess the IT program in 1 to 2 years. That's kind of self-explanatory. Do we need to expound on that, Melody?
I think we skipped number 13 as a 7, and number 19, both of those ranked as a 16.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. I skipped to 8 ratings instead of 7 ratings. Number 19, increase the cost recovery of the recreation. There you go.
I just got to get a little closer. So I apologize. Our programs that are cost recovery, we have a cost recovery outline that says that certain programs would be required to recover 100% of their cost, and some are less, some at 75%. And that policy can be reviewed again at the Recreation and Parks Commission and then brought back to you if you think that all the programs in all categories, including youth services and sports, should be 100% cost recovery. Obviously, some of the programs we have now are subsidized. But right now, when we do a new program or starting of a new program, we analyze the cost to the participant and the direct cost and indirect cost, and then we establish the new fee based on the cost recovery program that we have outlined.
Madam Mayor?
Go ahead.
Didn't we just see this like a year ago?
A couple years ago,
we
did a cost recovery for Recreation and Parks Department. Yeah. Perhaps we can, the Recreation and Parks Department can just bring that information back with what's happening.
I'm not interested. I think, again, we've just seen it in the last couple of years. A lot hasn't changed. I think we have other priorities. I think maybe in 3 years, in another year would be good. I'm not sure the need to do it right away. It sounds like it's under control.
How's the rest of council feel? Now or later?
Later.
Later? All right. Rick?
I don't think it's going to take that much effort to make it to make it so that I've never understood why the city has to subsidize people's activities in park and rec. And I don't see it as a big time-consuming effort to do that. You find out what the things cost, and you charge accordingly.
Well, I think one of the things we're talking about is like after-school childcare, things like that, where there are people that need assistance. What programs aren't covering their costs?
That's what the Morro Bay Community Foundation's for.
Yes, we do. Yes, the foundation does provide scholarships for families who are not financially off to send their kids to either childcare or sports activity. They have an option of having a scholarship on one or both of those activities. Our push right now is to go 100% cost recovery at every program we offer. Sometimes it's not feasible because of the user fee. And
fees
in line, so the user groups aren't shocked. We're not doubling costs within a year, but we're heading in that direction, so they are cost recovery.
Okay. So. All right, so is a consensus that we can wait on this one? It's not a top priority? Okay, so we'll hold off on that one. All right, streamline the business license. That's number 13. Request to streamline the business license operation in order to reduce support department costs and move the function to the deputy city clerk. Andrea, is that part of what we're looking at? Or
A little bit about consolidating. I think if the council is interested in that, we'd like to do a little further analysis on that. Where it would go, exactly what we would do if we've already accomplished some of that. With our reorganization.
Okay.
I think there's a part of it that we haven't accomplished with the reorganization, and that's on page 68 of Management Partners, and that was to streamline it by making the business license application period, the duration of it, 2 years rather than 1 year. I went into City Hall the other day and saw somebody's one-year application sitting there in the bucket, so that's clerk time, that's data entry, that's Susan Slayton's time, the accountant's time. So they had recommended that we go to 2 years. That also eliminates the burden on the business owner, mm-hmm. who has to come down there once a year, fill out the form, sign the check. Every 2 years, we cut the time in half. So I'd like to kind of include that as part of this streamlining idea that we have for that office.
As part of the analysis, looking at that, 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I it's not a revenue detriment to us.
Right.
I think we'll probably get them at different cycles because they come in at different times, true?
I'm not sure if it's a revenue detriment or not, but if we're analyzing it, then we can bring back that information to council. I don't have enough knowledge about how that works now, but we'd happy to bring it back and see if that 2 years is going to be feasible.
Well, it was one of the easier things I saw in this report on page 68, so you might take a look at that.
Okay, are we in agreement that that would be reasonable to pursue? Okay. All right, then going to the now number 14, reassess the IT program in 1 to 2 years, which do we feel that there's a need to do that any sooner? Anyone?
We just had that new program put in.
Right.
We just spent $275,000 on a new IT program, and so I wouldn't think we need to do it for at least a couple of years.
Okay.
The thing we have the police operation that is 24/7. We obviously can't expect Steve Doerr to work 24/7. So we would either need to look at enhancing our IT staff by increasing it, or looking at certain IT functions that can be outsourced. And that way we're getting better support and also not overburdening our one employee.
I think this is a major important item for us to look at, to have something that's efficient and workable. And I'd also like to know how this overlaps with the website redoing that we've talked about, and I don't know where that is.
Well, our website currently is with the, our website proposals are with the website review committee, proposal review committee. And so once we wind up selecting a vendor to, you know, redo our website and redesign it, then yes, that will also add impact to our IT person, Steve Doerr, who will have to work with the vendor and get the website, you know, the redesign, also as a facilitator to work with our contract IT person who supports our current website, and that would be John Jenna.
Okay. All right, thank you. And that brings us to the next level.
I'm sorry, Madam Mayor, so where does that leave us with this topic?
Okay, where do you want it to leave us? I thought it was that we'd wait a couple of years and have this looked over then. No?
What I'm hearing is that our IT department, which is one person, is highly impacted, and that's critical for our city to function, to have a good IT functioning system, and that we're going to be increasing that burden with the website. And we don't have to look at that immediately, but it sounds like, and maybe staff is aware that when things are ready to bubble over, that they're going to bring it to us, but I want the council, I guess, to be aware that this is real important, at least for me.
I guess my question is, where's the website situation stand? I know that we were getting input from other website
Susan
offers.
Susan just told us that we've received the proposals and that they're with the website review committee. We just haven't decided when to meet.
Okay.
And council, when our new website does come up, we've been talking a little bit about ways to handle the website that won't necessarily perhaps impact our IT person, perhaps the management of the website, not the software and the hardware, but the website material and content can be given to another individual to handle. So perhaps reassess in maybe a year. I think the recommendation was 2 years. Maybe bring it back in a year and let you know how we're going. Of course, if it gets to a critical point before that, we'll certainly bring it forward to council.
Right. Okay. Number 18.
Cost center for recreation programs, but
a cost center for the recreation program, is that kind of covered all under cost recovery there,
Andrea? Or
I'm sorry.
Well, we're talking about number 18, the cost center for recreation programs, and wondering if we've already covered that with the.
No, that was a little bit different. Let me find that recommendation very quickly for you. And for me.
Oh, that was create a cost center for the recreation program into which all revenues and expenditures are moved. So that was to separate it out almost like an enterprise fund?
All of these are stuck.
It's on page 72.
You're correct.
How far down do you want to go?
Yeah, it says here to make the recreation department an enterprise fund and set a cap on general fund money
and then make you pay or make you pay overhead costs. And I think we've just established that we don't want to do this for the next couple of years.
Management Partners put in a couple of different, I think they also put in an idea of doing a separate recreation district. So they put in a couple different ideas, but I think you're correct. You identified that we did that, Recreation Parks did it, and they'll wait for a little bit to see how that goes.
Okay, we're having a couple of discussions about how to proceed here. We've got three more that got a rating of 14, so let's cover those, and then let's take a break and see where we want to go with the other items, if they're worthy of discussion now, if they only got 10 votes, or if we want to wait until another time for those. So let's proceed with the 14 vote ratings, which I think the next one is number 24, and that's to increase harbor fees. I think we kind of just did that, didn't we? Rick, are there other fees that we can look at, or have we covered that just recently?
Is this working? Yeah, good evening, Mayor and Council. I think what they were referring to is you could look at raising fees such as our commercial fishing fees are set at a subsidized rate. It would be a major policy change for council, but you could raise additional monies by going to market rates. You could potentially go to, there probably is a higher market rate availability in the moorings. So rather than what you recently looked at was a CPI proposal increase. And then, of course, there's always a question of something we've been buying the old Iron Rangers. So that has not been instituted this summer, and we probably would look at paid parking in the Bull Launch Ramp again next spring to see scope out what effort would really be required to get the permits and establish equipment.
Is that something that the Harbor Board is looking at? Or will be looking at anyway?
I have trouble hearing the Harbor Board, did you say? Yes, we reviewed this at the Harbor Advisory Board last year, and I think they made a recommendation that my memory is, I should double check, but my memory is they made a recommendation to establish reasonable fees there.
Well, I don't think anybody wants to raise the fisherman fees, right?
No question, no.
No, okay. So we don't have to go there.
What does that mean, raising the fisherman fees?
Boat slip fees.
Didn't we just go over that?
We did increase them somewhat, yes.
And we didn't do it even to full market. I mean, we didn't even go market.
No, we didn't.
No, so, market would be another issue. What we were discussing that day was a consumer price index increases that would be annually applied.
And I'm not interested in actually charging for a boat launch ramp either. I think that's a public's right to have access to the water. And I'm not. If we're offering no service per se, I mean, all you do is run your boat into the water. There's not a lift or anything involved that. I don't see.
Okay, Rick.
In my discussions with fish and game folks, they say having a free boat launch is a real rarity on the Central Coast. I think we're about the only ones that don't charge for that.
Yes, that's correct. And actually, the technical part of it I always like to make clear is that we received a boat launch grant to build the boat launch ramp. The requirement is that we cannot charge for launching, but almost all facilities up and down the coast now have established a fee per parking. In Santa Barbara, I now believe it's $12 a day or $15 a day. I think we're one of the last developed boat launch ramps that does not charge for parking.
Mm-hmm. Melanie?
Yes. Rick, I have never forgotten going out with the Coastal Commission on the bay about 3 years ago on that little flat boat, the Sea Wind, and the commissioner, the female commissioner from Lake Tahoe, asked you what we charge for the slips out in the bay. Now, I'm not talking about the commercial fishing slips, but the ones where they're moored up out in the bay.
The moorings.
And I remember her saying what they charged in Tahoe as being something like 10 times as much, and she was just, oh, my God, I want to put my boat here. So in the Management Partners on page 75 with recommendation 24, they said that our slip mooring fees should be set within 5% of the private rates in the region. And I'm not sure rates in the region, and I would call that the coast of California. I don't know if they are, and I was wondering if I think it should be a priority for us to be charging as much as we can with with the kind of boats that are coming in and docking out there, and they're taking up room in the channel, and, you know, we dredge so that they can get in and out. And I think that recommendation 24 is important, in not in the aspect of the boat launch or anything, but that letter A. I just want to know, are we within 5% of private rates in the region, and calling the region the state of California? And I think that could be a staff report in the next year that perhaps Mr. Elgert could prepare. It's a little web research, it looks like to me. And just put down what he charges for 20-foot in the inner harbor versus all these other people, and does it hit the median? They didn't provide it for us in management partners, which they had. You know, they tell us to do something, but they don't tell us the proof. But if Mr. Elgert over the next year could provide us it, and maybe we are within 5%, and that's great. But if we aren't, I think we should start moving up towards that.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Elgert, but the majority of the city slips that we're talking about currently with this discussion are occupied by fishing boats, because most of the mooring balls and all the other slips that are in front of the various businesses are leases that, while we get the fee from the lease, the revenue from the slips and the mooring balls go to the leaseholder. Is that correct?
I'm getting a little bit confused with two different terms. So the city manages 48 different commercial fishing slips.
Okay.
Those are shoreside slips with gangway access.
How many of the slips that the city manages are not commercial boats?
All but 40. Well, all 46 of them are assigned to commercial fishing vessel. It's actually part of your ordinances in Section 15 of MBMC that provides commercial fishing vessels priority assignment of those. They qualify each year. Two of them down by Anchor Park are not permanently assigned because they're too narrow generally for most fishing boats, so we use those for transient slips.
So those are transient. So basically, the recommendation as far as raising the fees that Ms. DeMera was talking about is essentially 48 slips.
I might go ahead and jump in here then. So I think that there's another set of berthing facilities in the bay, and that's what I call the offshore moorings. There's approximately 120 off there, approximately 70 moorings that we manage individually. Approximately 10 of those have the gear and tackle have come back to the city. We charge about $150 a month where we own the gear and tackle, take care of the inspections, maintain the moorings. The other 60 so are assigned to individuals on sort of a space lease basis, month-to-month berthing agreement. They provide the gear and tackle. They do the inspections. We have very little cost with those. They pay about $70, $75 a month. One comment on your... I think we are roughly equivalent to the cost of mooring facility, offshore mooring facilities in Port San Luis, which is a relatively undeveloped facility down in Port San Luis. But mooring fees do vary greatly in the state, from Tahoe to Catalina at the very high end with extremely high costs, to probably Morro Bay and Port San Luis toward the very bottom end.
But this is, again, undervaluing Morro Bay. And I don't want to keep undervaluing Morro Bay because of tradition or history. These are dozens of slips out there. And I would really like the study. And if you consider it, Mr. Elgert, we've set as a priority here that we're going to start charging you to use our lawyer out of the general fund. So it would be really good for you to find more revenue for the harbor department.
I didn't mean to argue with you. And it's...
No, you weren't arguing with me. I was arguing with you.
Good. So I would agree. I think what has become more apparent in recent years, too, is that supply and demand is driving, whether we undervalue ourselves or consider ourselves rural or not a great boating location, maybe becoming less important than there's a lack of boating facilities up and down the state. We are seeing demand exceed supply. Probably if we threw this open to bids or however we wanted to do it, which would be considered highly disruptive to many of the mooring holders, they will not be happy. But there, I have no doubt that market rates might indeed be higher because it would be, for example, open to anyone who wanted to pay whatever.
Question.
And as we've learned from the oil and gasoline crisis, when demand exceeds supply, prices go up, not down.
Do you have a waiting list on those moorings?
We do not, because I'm glad you gave me a chance to explain how we manage those. Well, I shouldn't say that. Of the 10 that we manage directly, we do maintain a waiting list, and those are limited to 60-day stays, so they turn over. They're not permanently assigned. Those are ours, where the gear and tackles come back to us, and we charge $150 a month. Of the 60 that The gear and tackle is maintained by the gear and tackle, the block, all the tackle, for those of you not familiar with what I'm
understood.
Talking about.
Understood, yeah, but it's still a hole in the water. What are the terms of the lease?
So we don't assign those. In other words, when those turn over, they're a market transaction. A person who wants to sell their mooring agreement, we allow it to transfer. They will advertise them to pay for oftentimes, and we will see those sell on the open market for whatever the open market will pay. And we have seen, as an indicator of demand exceeding supply in recent years, where mooring agreements used to sell in the range of 3,000 to 5,000 or 6,000, we've seen those increase 2, 3, or 4 times now.
So who determines what the property underneath that anchor
is worth?
The city's revenue. Who determines what the revenue is for the city on that?
You do. When you've approved our master fee schedule, we set a fee of $76, I think, for $74 a month for that mooring agreement. So we can raise that on a 30-day basis. Any 30 days, we can give notice and raise that fee if we choose.
Well, just to reiterate, I think we ought to join the rest of the boating communities in California and have a boat launch fee and initiate that as soon as possible.
You can't have a boat launch fee because of the way we paid for our boat launch, but we can charge for the parking.
She's correct in the sense that we would establish a fee for parking in the lot.
Well,
in a control
way, if they want to put a boat in the water, they can pay the fee.
Yeah.
All right. So do we have consensus that we'd like, perhaps ask the Harbor Board to do a survey of market rates on these various issues and come back with some recommendations for us?
Yeah,
does
that
sound
works.
Good? Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right. Two more, and then we're going to talk about whether we want to continue or not, because we'll be down to lower vote numbers. The two that are left are 30 and 31, and that's the TOT and the utility users tax. So we can discuss them separately or together. We've had them both come up before us recently. Part of the reason for not going for the TOT then was because we weren't sure what was going to happen with the BID. We're still not sure.
And I think that's still a legitimate point. So I think that one's moot at this point until we find out what happens this fall.
Okay.
And I think the utility tax, Mr. Grantham in particular, is very interested in.
Well, everybody knows how I feel about that. they should if they don't. My preference would be to do whatever we have to do to, whether emergency basis or whatever, to get it on the ballot and at least give our citizens a chance to tell us how they feel about it. Not necessarily to saying that's what we're going to do, but state the case. Do you want your services or do you not want your services? It's really as simple as that. If you want your services, then you need a public utility user tax to ensure that you're going to maintain those services. And if you know what, if people say, you know, I don't care, I don't want the services, then I'll drop it. But until I know that, I'm going to be preaching it.
Melody.
Well, I'm going to join Rick Grantham on a few of these. Actually, I think that our TOT at 10% is, or 10%, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard to even say when I pay 14, 15 in other cities. I drove across America, which was a ghastly thing to do with your summer, but there's nobody at 10% anymore. Also, I think the bid thing takes control out of the city's hands. I think the TOT, exiting the bid and jumping on the TOT is a great idea. They're about to take 2% and put it in their own little hands to figure out what they want to do. And I'd rather do 2% TOT. I've changed my mind on that one. And then the utility users tax. You were all gung-ho for it. And you remember I sat there and I pondered and pondered and pondered. And I said, let's not do it. But I say, yes, let's do it. Or you guys go ahead and do it. But in 2 years, we're going to be up a creek. We're going to be up such a creek that we'll need to have a UUT. So plan on that on the ballot, too, in a couple of years.
Bill?
Well, when this came up in the council meeting, I was basically the other Lone Ranger with Mr. Grantham. I do not like taxes. I hate asking people to pay additional taxes, but I think we are at a point where we need to fully explain what this is for and why we think we need it, and then I think we need to put it in the hands of the community and let them decide whether or not it's worth it as far as trying to maintain the services we provide. In the meantime, we are talking in
Here's ballot. Is there a way we can do that at this time, or have we lost that window?
No, you've lost your window to get it on for the November ballot.
Okay.
So now, different subject matters. A utility tax, which is a tax, has to be at a general election normally. You can do it as a special election.
Okay.
It requires unanimous vote, and it requires certain findings to be made about the emergency nature of needing the funding mechanism. So, you know, I think we could reach those findings and make those findings under the circumstances if we want to bring that forward as a special election. But you got to look at what the cost of that election is going to cost the city as a special election. I'm not sure what initiatives are on for next year. You know, if it was June of next year, there might be other initiatives or other elections going on in the county that would help pay and piggyback on theirs. With regards to the TOT, though, that's a different issue. If it's a tax, yes, same circumstances. But if you're looking at forming your own bid, that can be done as a write-in protest ballot measure and doesn't need the majority and can be done at, like I said, a protest vote.
If the county is going to raise a sales tax, they would have to do it at a special election or wait for a general one, correct?
County didn't do it with us. It was just the cities that did it, and so now county is looking at the issue also.
It's been discussed.
It's been discussed. So yes, they'd have to do that as a. They're going to have to either wait the 2 years.
And if the
I shouldn't jump to conclusions. County might have some different laws than the city does under the government code.
And if the state wanted to raise the sales tax, do they have to do it at a special election?
Again, I would have to look at it. I'm only familiar with our requirements as a city. Maybe the state has different rules or the county does.
Okay. The reason I ask is because both of those things have been mentioned.
Yeah.
And what I'm thinking is, you know, it's very possible if either one of those is going to happen that we could go in on that one with our own comment about utility or TOT and maybe have some more information by then. I'm going to reiterate my concern with a utility user tax at this time is the same as it was when we discussed it. The fact that we've just asked our people and they have agreed to a sales tax increase, and yes, I know we were asking them for their opinion, but we hadn't clarified what it was supposed to cover, where it would be applied, and all of those things. It was just too amorphous for me to feel it was a good thing to put forward, because I think without that specificity, it might have failed. And then you're in a worse position than you are to whether this is necessary. So that's my feeling on it. And I'm certainly agreeable to doing that when we have that information down the line. Any other comments on that one?
I just think that this is another revenue generator that is a low priority, but certainly because of the balloting, it's not for a couple of years. I don't think we need to just throw it out. I think we should have it on a back burner.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think we should think about it. And when you talk about voters voting in things, that was in 2006 that we did that. And so by 2010, you know, maybe they'll be ready for another round. Who knows?
Well, and maybe before that, I don't see any problem with going for a special election if we feel that that is necessary at the time.
I have a problem with special elections because they cost me another $30,000, so I don't like them.
But there may be other initiatives going too, so we don't know how that'll happen. It's certainly something I think we should keep on the back burner. Okay, at this point, we have hit everything that had a rating of over 14 or more. Votes
Madam
out of
Mayor,
25.
If I could explain that rating to the folks, that we were asked as a council to give a rating of 0 to 5 on all of these recommendations, and so the highest rating you could get is 25. And we started at number 23, and we've gotten down to number 13,
mm-hmm.
so well into halfway through all of this.
Right.
So I think we deem the rest of them to be pretty low priority.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask the council. Do you want to deal with the others now, or do we want to just accept that they are not the high priorities, and we'll look at them another time after we've implemented some of the ones we've talked about? What's your feeling,
most of
council?
These, Madam Mayor, require staff to do something. So, I mean, we can mention them in case people are interested, but there's nothing to deal with, because all we're going to say is, yeah, here it is, and it's a lower priority, and we won't be able to get to it for a while, or we're going to do these other things first. So I think we just need to wait on those till we see how the other stuff goes.
Manny?
Yes, I'm not interested in doing any more thing that's below that. It's less than 0.5% that's being supported on the other items at this point. We've already given them probably half of 38, which is enough to do. Plus, we're talking about the restructuring stuff that's still going on, and so I think we're in a fine place.
Melanie? Rick?
Yeah, let's have
a... In addition, we'll go ahead and formulate a memo from your meeting today about your you know, your information, your direction, your consensus on these things, so we'll all have a clear understanding of where we're going.
Okay. And at the business forum on the 21st, we are going to be discussing the 20 goals. So what I'll do is I'll bring these charts, and again, we can have that available for anybody who would like to look at how the votes came out on those and where our next steps are going to be. All right. So with that, thank you all very much. Thank you. And we're adjourned.